flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, man. This is Ball Don't Lie, episode 127, man. As usual, I am your host, Scott. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BarbJessScott. Got the homie Dante in the building. You can follow him on Twitter at OctoberZoneTay. Of course, you can follow the brand, the Barber's Chair Network, on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Net. And of course, if you are not a Patreon subscriber, what are you waiting for? Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Subscribe right now, man. We've got the new Summer Sessions episode up. Very explicit episode that we had to make adjustments to. But check that out. Cinema with the guys. I keep saying this. Sopranos will be dropping sometime this month. I'm not going to name a date. Sometime this month is going to come. So look out for that, man. And we got a lot of stuff coming. As you are hearing, this is Monday. This is Monday, April 19th that you're hearing this. I know it's supposed to drop on Saturday, but I am in Chicago and I'm trying to adjust to this time zone again. And yeah, it's a lot of stuff I couldn't do on Saturday. So, but we are here to kick off the week. It's been a lot of stuff going on in the association this week, man. But first, Dante, how's it going, man? What's going on out there in the A?
I'm solid, bro. I really can't complain. I get really frustrated watching Trae Young play basketball. But I mean,
oh yeah.
Other than that, I really can't complain. It's like, when he's on, he's on. When he's off, he's ice cold. And like the foul hunting, it's not really good. But you know, the Hawks, you know, they battled their way back up into the top eight. So they will make the playoffs for the first time in a few years. So that'll be good for the city. But other than that, bro, I really can't complain.
It'll be good for the city. I just feel like only Falcons fans, like not Falcons, but excuse me, Hawks fans, like comparing to Luka. That if you watch these two play, honestly, there's no comparison. Like, and don't be a stat hawk. There's no comparison between the two. Let's be very, very clear. Yeah. Rolling with Luka all day, every day.
Yeah, if you're a box score hunter, you obviously going to say, oh, well, look, the numbers ain't that far off. But it's like, no.
If you're a Hawks fan, you're defending your boy. I understand. We all have delusional takes as fans. I've been there. I'm always there. So, you know. But let's get into it, man. Let's get into our weekly observations. Did you want to go first? You want me to go first? How you want to do it?
You can go first.
Okay. Today I have four weekly observations. Usually I have three. I've got four today. First, I'm going to start off with one of the most exciting players in the league. A guy I'm quickly becoming a fan of. He plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Before we get to that, I just want to say the Minnesota Timberwolves social media account, y'all wild as hell for calling Cat the Big Purr. It's a very sus name. That's not going anywhere. I was laughing for almost 24 hours. And they know that was tough because they deleted the damn tweet. Stop that.
Once they start getting fried, they realize, okay, this was a mistake.
Right.
We reached a little too far trying to get into pop culture. Like,
exactly. That was definitely a white man behind those keyboards. But I'm going to talk about their rookie, Anthony Edwards, who is having a pretty good rookie season, man. He's number one overall draft pick in the 2020 NBA draft. For those who don't know, Alex Rodriguez became one of the part owners of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Two players became owners this week. Dwayne Wade becoming a part owner of the Utah Jazz. Shout out to D-Wade, hometown hero. Give a shout out to him. A-Rod, who had a very eventful week buying not only the Minnesota Timberwolves, but also they threw in the Minnesota Lynx as part of the deal. And he broke up with J-Lo. So I know it was I could tell he's having a rough time. He was on his IG story. Looked like he ain't been lined up in a while. You know what I'm saying? And playing rap music on a golf course. Yeah, I'm playing rap music on a golf course. Tells me everything I need to know. But they asked Anthony Edwards, you know, how he felt about A-Rod being a new owner, and was he going to, take some tips from him about, you know, being an athlete or whatever. And so Anthony Edwards, you know, playing with his head, was like, who? Who that? He's like, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez. He said, oh, well, you know, I know he's the owner, but I don't know much about him. You know, I don't watch baseball. And had like a grin of a Cheshire cat on his face. Now, would I be shocked if he didn't know Alex Rodriguez? No. Was he like 19?
He's
19. So when A-Rod retired, which was 5 years ago, he was 14. So, yes, I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't know him. But I know a troll when I see it. I saw the look on his face. And they also had an interview when he was describing the game of baseball so well to somebody who knows about it. And I just don't buy that he just don't know A-Rod. I'm not saying he knows a deep dive into his career, but you know the nigga who's with Jennifer Lopez. you know something about this guy. So I'm going to call it as a complete and utter troll. And I respect it because he's like on a little, you know, roll right now as far as quotes in the media. But I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I think he knows who A-Rod is. So that's why I'm going to go for my first weekly observation. My second one, my boy, Steph Curry, the leader of the light-skinned delegation. First of all, before I get into my actual points about Steph, I just want to go over how OC Steph's last 10 games have been. He has 47-7-3, 33-4-5, 42-6-8, 53-6-4, 38-8-5, 32-6-5, 41-6-4, 37-5-2, 36-11-3. 32-5-6. And I think he had like, you know, it's like a ridiculous stat. And if you look at three-pointers made this week, Steph Curry has made 36, the Orlando Magic have made 33, the Sacramento Kings have made 33, the Washington Wizards made 29, and New Orleans Pelicans have made 26. He has made more threes in a week than all these teams. Now, go ahead.
With all that being said, the Golden State Warriors are 5-5 this week, but continue.
Okay, that's besides the point. They're still going to be in the play-in game, like I said. Like I said, they're still going to be in the play-in game.
And now that y'all moving the goalposts, y'all told me we're moving the playoffs.
But that's still the playoffs.
At least play-in game.
No, that's still playoffs. That's still playoffs.
And it's crazy how the media is just smoothing this over now because they like that all-important 10th seed. Like, that don't even sound right, my nigga. Like, the 10th seed.
But look, man, if you
Steph is going off, though.
If you got to play with just Draymond Green and I don't even know what Kelly Oubre is. He's definitely not a basketball player. It just is what it is. It just is what it is, dog. Just get in that game. But anyway, my point is Steph Curry is the best worst thing that happens in the NBA. He's best because I think Steph Curry, when it's all said and done, is going to be a top 10 player of all time. I think he's going to be the second greatest point guard of all time. I'm only going to put Magic above him, and I don't really think there's much he can do to surpass Magic. But he's also the worst because it's really changed the way the game is being played to the point where it's like not fun to watch. Everybody can't be like Steph Curry. He has a God-given talent, which is why I never liked the underdog story about Steph. He's not an underdog, bro. He went to Davidson. Not only did he go to Davidson, they made what the Elite Eight that one year. He had NBA players coming to see his game. You saw LeBron come to his game. You saw Kevin Durant come to his game. You saw Russell Westbrook come to his game. He was a phenom. He wasn't some guy who just came from like a school we ain't never heard of and was drafted in the late first round and just became this guy he was. So that's not the point. That he's definitely not that. But if you look at the way the game has changed right now, I think somebody said you can argue that he has changed the game maybe more than any player in the last 40 years. I don't think that's too much of a hot take. I think maybe the only one I'll put over there is Jordan, and that's because Jordan was playing in a big man's league. Like, even if you were going on the Last Dance, there's, oh, yeah, guard's never going to win a championship. If you ain't got a big, you ain't going to win a championship. Like, I didn't even pick them to win that first year because I've never seen a jump shooting team win. But now you've got guys, you got whole teams where if you don't even attempt a couple threes, you're not even making the roster. But all these guys aren't equipped to shoot the way Steph does. And it makes the game very unbearable because you're trying to make it look like the way Steph does and the way the Warriors does it. Like, even if you look like Dame doing these half-court shots, even LeBron doing these half-court shots, this wasn't a thing before Steph did it. Like, you'd have got benched if you were attempting shots like that. Now it's like, oh, it's normal. It's a regular shot. So I would say that Steph, while I, you know, he's somebody that we're never going to see again. He's one of the actual few superstars in the league. I feel like we need to owe just how badly the game looks partially to Steph Curry. So that's where I'm going to go with that take right there.
I disagree with that. I would say, before you go on, I would say that it's partially Steph, but it's also partially analytics and coaching. A lot of people have really much gone away from, you know, set plays outside of the pick and roll and things like that. To that nature, it's really just the pace of space. And so, as much as Steph and the Warriors sparked that, I think you got to actually add some of that to, you know, the analytics and the coaching, because you see these coaches tell these kids who can't shoot threes, no, you got to shoot threes. I think it was Earl Watson. He was a coach of the Phoenix Suns, and he did an interview, and he said the ownership came to him and said, we got to shoot 33s a game. And he was like, with who? Like, Devin Booker can shoot up 10 if he really, you know, forces the issue, but who's going to shoot these threes? But when you're getting these mandates and you're getting, you know, they're telling you, no, we got to shoot X amount of threes to keep up with X, Y, Z. Because like I said last week, the league is pretty much becoming a race to 120. So it's like whoever scores 120 first, you're going to win a game.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, I know every time I say something about Steph, motherfuckers think I'm trying to take away.
You be hating. It's all good.
I definitely don't, but I mean, I go ahead.
You be hating. It's all good. We all had that one player we hate. We all know who mine is.
I like Steph, though.
And that's okay. That's why I said about you know, I ain't got a problem with LeBron. This is fans. Like I know it's a thing.
No, I like Steph a lot.
I would say that while I do agree with the analytics part, I don't think the analytics would be a thing if Steph and Warriors didn't do what they were doing. If they never existed, I'm not gonna say the game would have been the same because the game changed every 5 years. But I definitely feel like they sped that up, Steph specifically.
But I mean, the Spurs were in the analytics. That's why, you know, they dropped.
The Spurs wasn't shooting at the clip, the Warriors.
Yeah, not from three, though. Not from three at all. They adjusted to that as the game went towards.
Yeah.
But as far as analytics and things like that, the Spurs were into it a bit. But you're right. The outside of the Suns, the Warriors were the team that really got that praise for that.
Yeah, even with the Suns were a heavy three-point shooting team for that era. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you put the Suns in today's era, just three-point attempt-wise, I don't even think it'll be something that'll be like, OC. You know what I'm saying? With the Warriors, like, you've got every team trying to do that. Like, teams who don't even have the personnel to be doing it. And it's just like, you know, like I always say, I said that one game where it was Warriors and Blazers, and the game started third quarter. The first 15 attempts were all three-pointers from both teams. And I was like, all right, I'm cutting this off. Like, maybe I'm just a little old school, bro. I don't want to see three-pointers every possession, especially if you're not making them. But that's my second week of observation. My third, I'm going to give kudos to the Staples Center, man. Staples Center just opened back up this past Thursday. Not a lot of fans are being allowed, but I think it's like 10%. I don't know. I don't know what percentage. I think it's 10%. But it's over like only like 2,000 fans or something are allowed into Staples Center. And the first game this week was Lakers Celtics on Thursday. But they have this new rule where you have to either bring proof of vaccination or proof that you have a negative COVID test within the last 48 hours for you to get into the game. If you don't have it, you're not getting into the game. And they also not allowing like bags in. They have like a locker across the street from the Staples Center where you can drop your bag off. I don't know what bags got to do with COVID, but my point is I like this, what they're doing as far as letting people in who have to have one of those two things. Cause I think that's going to become the norm in sporting events and concerts. Like we already got Ticketmaster and Live Nation saying that they're going to be doing that for their concerts. And there was a lot of angry people in those Staples Center, messages, I mean, not mess with comments, saying why I got to do all this. It's good to try to start that up is, you know, okay, you don't want to take the vaccine, cool. You got to give us a negative test. And so I feel like that's something that's going to really kind of spark it. I think even Barclays and Madison Square Garden, if they're not doing it, they're about to do it. So that's something I think you got to pay attention to, man. I got to give Staples Center props for that. My fourth and final weekly observation, hell is freezing over. I can't believe I'm about to say this. The Knicks are actually fun. The Knicks are actually a fun watch. Like I always said, like I've been saying on this podcast all year, Tibbs' happiness only lasts for so long, and we know this as Bulls fans. Remember that first year with Tibbs. It was fun. They had hard defense. You know, guys were stepping up. It was fun to watch MVP Rose. Now, what Julius Randle's doing right now isn't what, you know, Rose was doing MVP in 2011, but it's also fun to see him out there. Like, he was going out there battling with Zion. You know, outlasted Luka the other night, and it's just really fun to see that little, you know, what they're building into. I don't know how long term it is because there's still a lot of it's a real scrappy defensive team that offensively I'm still just not, you know, I'm kind of on, you know, long term. And I don't know if this is just the one of those career years for Julius Randle, and can he do this again next year? That's a question that I still don't know. And we know how Tibbs teams get. The first year is great, next year he just starts playing you mad minutes, and just sometimes his voice just gets a little bit too loud in the locker room. But for the time being, they're a fun team. I think right now they're what, fifth or fourth seed in the Eastern Conference, man. Let me do six. That is sixth?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're a half game out of the five seed. Well, they're a half game out of third. Well, no, they're a half
okay,
game.
Okay, they're sixth. Six. Okay, yeah, they're sixth right now. They're sixth seed, 31-27. They've won six in a row for the first time in 7 years. So I gotta give it to the Knicks, man. You know, I don't like giving y'all any type of compliments, but I gotta give it to the Knicks. They're a fun watch. And those are my weekly observations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 31-27, like I tell all my favorite Knicks fans, get ready for a 42-42 basketball team, you know. Well, 41-41, you know, that'll be the Knicks. You know, they'll win 43 games, something like that. They'll be a typical Tom Thibodeau team, but I agree. They are fun to watch. Julius Randle, he's somebody who really just needed an opportunity to get the ball in his hands a lot. I think when you look at the different squad, well, being on the Lakers with, you know, with Zoe, with Randle, you had just different guys. Even he was on a squad with Kobe. So, you know,
yep.
You know, he always had other guys who had the ball in their hands at all times. And we saw, like I always say, these guys who make these high school mixtapes, you know, they should be millionaires because they make a lot of people go crazy. But he's best with the ball in his hands when he's able to create, when he's able to make for himself and others. And so we've seen Tom Thibodeau, like I told somebody, he's Tibbs' new Joakim Noah, in the sense that I remember when we just watched Joakim do 75 dribble handoffs every game.
Like much better offensive threat.
No. Absolutely. I'm just saying in the sense of like
Tibbs, how the ball goes through. Yeah,
Tibbs just runs the offense through this, you know, power forward, center, whatever you want to call him. And so, you know, I think he's having, you know, a great year. My only question would be, if he goes to another team where he isn't like the primary guard, I mean, the primary ball handler, what do you get from Julius Randle? If you know, because this is a contract year, right?
No, he's got one more year.
Okay. Well, if they, you know, if they exercise that option, if they don't, if he able to, you know, go out and test the waters, you know, what type of fit would he be? But as far as the Knicks, it's definitely a fun team. You know, I guess, you know, what y'all like to say, basketball is better when the Knicks are good.
I don't really believe that.
We're gonna let them have it right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna let y'all rock. I'm not into killing people's happiness. Did you have any weekly observations before we get into this first topic?
Just one really, and it's, okay. It's something I say all the time is we really need to abolish the draft lottery. The draft lottery is fucking pointless.
Okay, why you think it's pointless?
We need to put 30 ping pong balls in the little machine. Every team gets one ping pong ball. That's it.
That's fair. That's still a lottery, though.
You know, I mean, I know I'm fine with that lottery, but as far as
you don't want to award teams for being crappy.
Yeah, I don't want this poverty lottery where if you ask, you get 9 ping pong balls, and I get 1 ping pong ball because I ran a good team. When you sit and look at the bottom of the standings, it's a lot of teams that are in the lottery every fucking year.
Okay.
And so it's like, if you're not going to push these owners to actually compete, and I think, you know, it'll never happen in America, but if they had a soccer-style free agency where there is no salary cap, there is no draft, it's just we sign people, you know. We build the best G-League team you can, build the best NBA team you can, and you bring people up accordingly like that. But that's just not the way our system is set up. So I think the only way to really fix that is, you know, you can stop relying on the draft. Like, even if you do get a certain pick, now your scouts really have to do their job. Because you got a lot of people who got trash scouts who have been drafting the wrong player year after year after year after year.
Yep.
So I think in my opinion, it's really time to just get rid of that. Like, you got to let that shit go.
With you on that, but like you said, that's not gonna happen because, you know, they really like pride themselves. The NBA thinks they got parity, which they really don't. You know, giving the smaller markets a chance. I'm with you on that. I'm fine with the 30 team equal opportunity lottery. I feel like a lot of teams will actually try to build their team instead of saying, oh, we just, you know, gonna be sitting niggas and, you know, we'll get more ping pongs and, you know, things of that nature. I think that would help a lot. I know this doesn't have anything to do with basketball, but you know, if you listen to a Barbershare Network podcast, that we get off topic. The Chicago Cubs are getting ran through on national TV, 9-3. They are getting skull fucked by the Atlanta Braves. And
NL favorites.
While the Chicago White Sox swept the doubleheader of the quote unquote hot Boston Red Sox today. But anyway, back to regularly scheduled programming. I'm with you on that, man. I'm with you. Let's stop gifting trash teams for that. But we move on to our first topic, which is kind of, we can go back to what we said in my last observation. Now the Knicks won six in a row. They're sixth in the Eastern Conference right now. Their highest win streak in 7 years. How far can this Knicks team go? You know, I follow a lot of Knick Twitter, not on purpose, but I just have a lot of friends in New York. And they I always say, well, how the Bears are the football version of the Knicks, because when we start winning, the fans get excited and they get delusional. And I saw a couple of my fans like, why we got to worry about the future? Why not now? Like, they're the Nets or some shit. So where do you think – what was the ceiling, or, you know, how far can this current Knicks team in 2021 go? Like, can you see them winning a first-round series? Can they, you know, give one of the top three teams in the East? Or I'm going to put top four because I respect Miami in there as far as giving them a scare? Or what do you see from them?
The – 2021 New York Knicks are an exciting first round exit.
Okay.
We'll go six games. It will be exciting. And the one thing about six games is, like, it sounds good when you say it went six games, but the reality it is you got your ass beat 4-2. And, you know, it's not as close as it looks. It just sounds good. But I think the Knicks will be an exciting first round exit. I still think they won't be able to score enough, because, like, even if it stopped right now, the sixth seed, they would play the Bucks. And I think, like we talked about, adding P.J. Tucker with Jrue Holiday doing this thing, I think that would be a bad matchup for the Knicks. And so just looking at the possible matchups, even if, you know, like I said, they're a game out of four, even with the four, you either play in Atlanta or Boston. So, I mean, I think they have a much better shot against Atlanta than they do Boston with the way Boston's been playing lately. And those two guys with Tatum and Brown. So I think first round this year, and I think we say that, and like a lot of people think, oh, they just hating because they're not Knicks fans. But the reality is that's great
for the Knicks. Every criticism,
but not even that. That's great for the Knicks with everything they've been through over these past few years to show that type of progress, that type of improvement, especially when we say every week that a lot of these young teams in the East really need to show these stars and these superstars that, hey, yo, you know, we really trying to compete. We really trying to get better. And you try to attract somebody. And, like, it's only a matter of time. We've been cracking the jokes, but eventually someone will go to New York. Like, it's going to happen eventually. And so building on this, I think this is going to be dope for Tibbs. It's good to see him back in it, you know, doing this thing. And I think the Knicks will be they'll be a fun watch, but I think the first round is probably their ceiling right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Right now, as it sits, they are a half game out of the fourth spot, out of the fourth seed. This thing about the Knicks, and it, like I said, it reminds me of the Knicks remind me of the Bulls teams when Derek was injured. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, the teams that went through Joakim Noah, you know, Luol Deng could get you 20 a game. We had the miscellaneous point guards like DJ Augustine and, you know, niggas like that, where they could go out there and win 45 to 48 games without Pooh. But when the playoffs come, bro, the NBA playoffs, the NBA in general is a superstar-driven league. And like you said, defense is very overrated. It's the first to 120. That's who wins in today's NBA. So if they're matched up in the first round against the Milwaukee Bucks, I don't even think they could – I mean, I don't even – you know, we say a nice six. I don't even think they could push it to six if they play Milwaukee. I feel like Milwaukee has got a real, a monkey on their back with something to prove this year. That don't mean – they're not going to beat the two dogs in the East, which is Philly and Brooklyn. But they got something to prove. They're not going to lose no damn Knicks. But I feel like the Knicks can, you know, maybe squeak one game out of them. You know, maybe make it a 1-1 series. They still want on the road in Milwaukee. You know, give it a story in New York for 48 hours. Can this Knicks team do it? But they're not going to do it. And I know how Tibbs games go. And we're not saying this out of hate. We're saying this as people who've been fans of a team that had Tibbs as our coach for 5 seasons. I know how this goes. I know the story all too well. And he doesn't know how to run offensive steps. You need to run offense in the playoffs. And there's going to be crowds in the playoffs. I'm expecting at least 50% capacity come these playoffs. Can Julius Randle do this with the lights on? I don't believe in RJ Barrett. I don't care what stat Nick fans like throwing my face. I don't believe in RJ whatsoever. But I like Julius Randle. I'm just not 100% sure he can do it with the lights on, especially against, you know, Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis and that whole team. I can't see it. But like you said, this is good for the Knicks regardless. Getting into the playoffs after the really the last 20 years these niggas have had. We want to keep Broadway funky. This is just good for them. It's good for the city. It's good for Knicks fans. It's good for Tibbs. It's good for those young players to just get in there and get a little bit of basketball of late, I mean, of playoff basketball to get in their system. But they're not really somebody who I'm like, oh, don't want to play this team just because I don't believe in them offensively. So that's why I'm going to go with the Knicks. But like I said, I'm not here to rain on nobody's parade. I'm a Bears fan. I know how it is when you got that little bit of hope. You want to ride on to that hope as long as you have it because you don't know if it's coming back from that. So I'm going to let, you know, Knicks fans, y'all enjoy it. Y'all celebrate it. Y'all need this, man. Y'all need it and y'all deserve it because ain't nobody else in New York doing that really right now. You know, the Yankees stink. Y'all had to sacrifice the Yankees to get the Knicks good. But that's what I'm going to say about that. Our next topic, man, LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge retired unexpectedly this week. I thought it was a troll or, you know, a typo when I saw Shams tweet it out. But LaMarcus Aldridge retired from the Brooklyn Nets. He's retired from the NBA. He had an irregular heartbeat. And that's what's caused him to miss a couple games last week. And a lot of people was trying to figure out, like, what happened. He said it scared the crap out of him. He felt like, you know, it was getting more regular the next day. He just said, you know, I worry about my health more than actual playing career. And he gave it quits, man. I just want to say salute to him. I feel like if you look at his, resume, I think he's a Hall of Famer. If we're going off, you know, the numbers, he's 5-time all NBA. And he's like a 12. I mean, how many times All-Star is LaMarcus Aldridge? Let me see. But yeah, 5-time NBA all first team. He is 7-time All-Star. And yeah, he was drafted number 2 overall in 2006 by, we all know, a team he was drafted by, the beloved, and trade him for Tyrus Thomas. One of the things I will never get over. But salute to him. I'm glad he chose his health over this career. The funny thing is, he still is eligible for a championship ring if the Brooklyn Nets do go out there and win it. But salute to him, man. I hope he stays healthy. Hope he can, stay here, everything be good with him, and, you know, won't be any more problems with him. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's hella unfortunate, you know, with him just signing with Brooklyn and looking like he was going to be a real contributor to a championship team, that this thing really took him out. I'm not even going to say at the prime, at the tail end of his career. But, I mean, like he said, you know, he's had a great career. He's experienced some amazing things, and I just appreciate the fact that he had the self-awareness to say, you know what, I got to put my health first, and, you know, I'm going to just step away. So glad he didn't push it. We don't need nobody dying on the court, nothing crazy like that. And so, like you said, I just wish him nothing but the best. And, I mean, I hope this is just a wake-up call to other players, you know, really take their health serious and, you know, get checked and make sure everything is good. I know they do, but just go a little bit, you know, a little more in-depth just to make sure everything is good with you. You know, it's because at the end of the day, it's bigger than basketball. These people have families, you know what I'm saying, a whole other lives and things to take care of. So shout out to L.A., you know what I'm saying. Hopefully, you know, he can find peace outside of basketball. I'm sure he know he'll find something. So I just wish him luck in that.
And I'm sure it's tough too, man. You know, I saw Chris Bosh coming on, and you know, Chris Bosh can relate also about the whole situation when he had to go through the heartbeat and the blood clots. But in the day, it's just a game. You know, he had a great career, and you want to be here long term. He's only in his late 30s. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got his whole life ahead of him, bro. So, you know, salute them. And Twitter, man, y'all got to get better, bro. Like, we can at least wait till the news pops before you start making jokes. There's a lot of you Laker fan niggas out there making jokes. Oh, well, Andre Drummond run him off. Like, bro, if somebody retires out the blue, you're first like, maybe it's something major here.
You know what I mean? It's usually something serious.
Yeah, maybe it's something major. Maybe we should wait for the facts. And then niggas had the nerve to get mad at Shams because he didn't put all the details in the first tweet. Like, how about you just relax for a minute before you're trying to get jokes off? But Twitter's going to Twitter at the end of the day. I don't know what I expected from that app. but even more, so there's a lot of injuries, a lot of stuff going on this week. Jamal Murray tore his ACL this week on Monday night in the game against the Warriors. That's a huge, huge blow for the Nuggets. As somebody who I feel like I'm a doctor based on my time as a Bulls fan, when I saw how he was holding that knee and it was non-contact, I knew exactly what time it was. I was like, that's an ACL. I was hoping it wasn't, but it's ACL. And it really changes the Western Conference picture right now, in my opinion. always said that it was a three-team race between the Lakers and the Clippers and the Nuggets, and I really love the Nuggets' addition of Aaron Gordon. I feel like that they could be a team that could go out there and maybe ruin it for the Lakers and for the Clippers. But what is something we kept saying on this podcast? It really only depends on can Jamal Murray do what he did in the bubble, but with, you know, all the, with the hoes watching, as I like to say. He's not going to have that chance this year, and I think they're trying to bring Austin Rivers in, which, of course, is a good depth signing, but he's not going to replace what Jamal Murray is giving you, man. And I really feel like everything is lining up for the Clippers. Like, it's crazy. Like, if you look at it, the Nuggets are dealing with injuries. The Lakers are dealing with injuries. Now, Anthony Davis is, you know, they're hoping that Anthony Davis might be back sometime this week. LeBron is still 3 weeks away. But to me, this, if the Clippers can't get it done this year with all the things going in their favor and PG playing the way he's in, you got playoff Rondo and just the team, I feel like they're much deeper than they were last year. They're never going to get it done. So it's like, it's kind of now or never for them, man. So I really feel like this really puts a dent in the Western Conference pitch, and I just don't really see how far the Nuggets can get without Jamal Murray out there.
Now, I agree as far as like them being a championship contender. I completely take them out of that conversation, but I think this is going to really test, you know, the moves they made at the deadline and see how those pieces add on. Because I mean, one thing we'll definitely miss is, you know, all of Jamal Murray's clutch baskets and his ability to really step up in the fourth when this team really needs him. But as far as production wise, this season he was only averaging around 16 points a game. So I feel like they can spread that around, especially with the way that they play and playing through Jokic. I think they can really spread it around and make up for that. But it'll just be a matter of, in those clutch moments, do they have other players who can step up and make those plays? And I think they may be able to get through a couple rounds, but when it comes down to like when they really need it all, I don't think they're gonna have enough this year. So I think this definitely hurts their chances as real championship contenders.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like the depth will come. I'm not gonna say like they're gonna go home in the first round or something, like you said, but championship wise, that convo's over. Like, for sure, because you need somebody as great as Jokic is, and I think this is Jokic's MVP to lose. As great as Jokic is, you need a guard who can just go out there and get you a bucket and be as crazy as he was last year, and you don't have that anymore. So that's going to be a huge problem for them. But much respect to Jamal Murray. Hopes he gets better. The good thing is ACLs are not the death blow they used to be. A lot of people come back, and look at Zach LaVine. Zach don't look like he got in. He got better. Zach looked like he jumped higher after that ACL tear. So much respect to Jamal Murray. Hope his rehab goes back and we can see him sometime next year. And that goes my next thing. With all these injuries we're seeing, Jamal Murray, you know, the Nets rotating lineup of injuries. You know, Harden still hasn't come back. Kevin Durant got injured again today with a knee contusion against Miami Heat. Nothing serious. He's probably only going to miss a game or two. But you see the revolving door with all the Nets injuries. The Lakers have missed Anthony Davis and LeBron James for a good amount of the second half of the season. Really, AD has been out basically all season. If you think about it, AD ain't played since like January. So if you look at all of that with Jamal Murray, all these other injuries, do you think that the short schedule and all these back-to-backs and, you know, 5 games and 7 nights, the rushing of the season, do you think that has anything to do with all these injuries we're seeing in the league right now?
Oh, no, 100%. I think when you put all these miles on a player's body, even if you've limited the travel schedule somewhat, it's definitely going to take its toll. And I think one thing we have to consider, I've seen a lot of people say, oh, Adam Silver, God damn, the club's getting ass beat. My bad. Adam Silver... We say Adam Silver is a war criminal and whatnot, but I mean, at the end of the day, bro, the players union agreed to this contract. You got a lot of players. People, we always think about the guys who can afford to sit out a season. A lot of those lower level guys cannot afford to miss a paycheck, and so the league felt like the league and the players union negotiated what they felt was best for the team. But I feel like in reality, they put the money over the players, like which is something that they always gonna do. And so when you look at, like you said, 5 games and 7 nights and shit like that, that's ridiculous. With the amount of basketball they've played, especially when you consider the teams that were in the bubble, like you got guys, and it works both ways. You got the guys who were off for months and you got the guys who literally had 1 month off and they were right back at it. Like it's really silly when you think about it.
It's silly because I agree with you. It's silly. Yeah, the players did agree to it. I don't understand. Well, I feel a lot of players didn't want. I feel like there's a lot of players who said they didn't want the season starts early. A lot of players, especially players who went deep in the playoffs, like the Lakers and the Heat, and you know teams like that, who really only had a month and a half to chill before training camp started back up. They're expecting to return around Martin Luther King Day. And I feel like they could have did an extra 10. They could have did the full 82. They could have did the full 82 and you know, give them the appropriate amount of time to get together. Like five games in 7 nights is ridiculous, man. It is ridiculous. And I really feel like this whole season, people are finally seeing what I've been saying about Adam Silver for the longest time. He's not this woke commissioner that you think he is. And it's just really all coming down to it. And it's also something I feel like has made the season one of the most unbearable seasons in recent memory to watch. It's because you got all these injuries. I was hyped to watch the Nets Sixers game this past week just to have Tobias Harris out, just to have Seth Curry out, just to have KD out, and Harden was out, and Blake Griffin was out. You got all these major players sitting out. And it just completely ruined the game, especially these big-time, prime-time matchups. And I feel like at least that could have been solved with at least spacing these games out better. And then you're going right into a playoff that's going to be going on at least till August. So just bad management there. Bad management right there by Adam Silver, man.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I think it's really just another example of the way America has handled this pandemic. We've been really just half-assing it, really, you know, adjusting on the fly, trying to, you know, put dollars over people. And so this is the result of that. I know they aren't catching COVID, but you got guys, like you said, blowing out knees, tearing Achilles, going crazy left and right. So that's the result of our money-first society and the way we really just prepped. That's what it was all about. They got these TV contracts. They got all these deals that they have to uphold. Otherwise, you know, they start losing the real dollars because, you know, those are the billion-dollar deals that's going to pay for everything regardless of who shows up. And so that's the result of our greed. When I can't even say our greed, but
their greed. Yeah, you know. Their greed. Quick thing before I get to the Celtics, this wasn't on the rundown, but what do you think about the Lakers? The Lakers was 7-9, I think, since AD and LeBron have been out. Now, I think they dropped to the fifth seed, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they are fifth seed.
The fifth seed. Do you have anything change in mind about the Lakers? I think they played better than we've expected without their two main players. Does anything change for you as far as your opinion on Lakers with, you know, AD possibly coming back this week?
I mean, at the end of the day, the Lakers will be fine. But I still think, you know, with Portland is two games behind them for the fifth seed.
Yeah.
You know, they are still teetering on that play-in territory. So we'll see what happens when AD gets back. I know a lot of people talked about how AD did the heavy lifting and whatnot, but I got to check, but I'm not sure how good their splits were when it was just AD on the court and no LeBron. So we'll see how they respond and they react to AD coming back. Obviously, you know, you just assume you plug and play, it would be a big help, but we'll definitely see. But I don't think I'm really concerned because that's one team, once they're healthy, you don't want to fucking play them. Like, imagine if you work you bust your ass to get into the play-in game, then you got to play the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something you want to do. So I'm not concerned with the Lakers at all.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, it's a winner-take-all type of game seven deal. They still have a three games. And, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I don't think much changed. I will give the Lakers bench, I guess, more props. I thought they were going to get lambasted over these games and for them to at least basically stay afloat. Now, of course, they've dropped like two, three seeds down. But, I mean, they've played as well as they possibly could. I mean, you're getting good minutes from THT. Kuzma, I think, has finally found his role this year. Schroeder's been good. If anything, we just see how good Vogel is as a coach. You know, with losing two of his main guys and kind of keeping his team afloat. So I'm with you on that. I'm not, you know, I still think they're going to have a hellacious role to forget winning the whole title. They're going to have a hard road to just get out the West. But I gotta give him credit for at least staying afloat, because I did not see that happening. Let's go on to the Lakers' most bitter rival, man, the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics, who we had on our most disappointing team in the league just a couple weeks ago, they've gone from the 10th seed in the East to now they're the 5th seed. They are really the tie for the 4th seed right now with the Atlanta Hawks. You know, Tatum has been back to balling. You know, Jalen Brown's having a great season. Kemba is finally starting to play well. They're 8-2 in their last 10, and they've won 6 in a row. My question for you, are the Boston Celtics back? Are they back in the Eastern Conference picture like we all expected them for when the season started?
I'm going to still say no. I still don't think they're a championship contender. But, I mean, I think they're back to being an entertaining team. I think they were really struggling for a while. But I think, you know, after the trade deadline, shaking up the roster a little bit, you know, they didn't make any major additions. The players have really started to play a lot better. Then, like you said, Jaylen Brown's having a career year. He's really, you know, stepped it up and really added to his game in every facet. And so, you know, Marcus Smart is once again a key contributor, you know, averaging 5.6 assists a game, 1.5 steals, really doing this thing. You got Tatum, who, you know, people love the Kobe disciples, we all do, but he's really, you know, added to his game as well. And I know earlier in the year, I was saying it's kind of, you know, pick your poison with those two. But I think when you look at, like, so far on the season, they're neck and neck in points, but Tatum has more assists, more rebounds, and, you know, less turnovers. So, I mean, he's really showing you that he is the number one guy on that squad. And so I think they're back in terms of being actually competitive. And, you know, they may be able to shock somebody and knock somebody off. But if I had to put my money on them, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I would say this. I don't think this means they're back as far as them coming out the East, because I still think that's a two-team race between the Sixers and the Nets. I do think they could beat some teams that they probably, you know, a couple weeks ago, don't look they had no chances. I think they could probably beat a Miami. And we all know on this podcast, I don't believe in the Milwaukee Bucks. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are the biggest waste of time. I can see them beating Milwaukee. If Tatum and Brown are playing on the level that they're playing right now, until Giannis shows me that he's him, I wouldn't be shocked. If I can see, I think we're finally seeing this team come together. Tatum looks like he's healthy now. Kemba looks like he has a pulse, which he hasn't looked like, honestly, to be honest, since he got to Boston. If you want to keep 100% funky, you know what I'm saying? Like, he hasn't really had a pulse in general. So for him to look like that now, I think it's huge. And they could maybe upset a team. I could see them, you know, beating a team they ain't got no business beating. So I give them that. And also the news that their coach, Brad Stevens, actually turned down a deal to go to Indiana. So he will be staying in Boston, which I wasn't so sure about. But at least the Celtics are at least watchable now, because good Lord knows the NBA likes to have them on TV every other night. So at least they're watchable now, which is a lot. But if I was Miami, and Miami has a lot of question marks, we still don't know what's going on with Oladipo's injury. Jimmy Butler's in and out the lineup. I feel like they're still having a, you know, I think kind of like a hangover from last year. So I can see them pouncing on them or the Bucks, man.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. It's really going to come down to these matchups. I think for everything, all the shit talking we've been doing about the regular season, the playoffs are going to really go up. Like, it's going to be a lot of good matchups. I think we're really going to enjoy it.
Hope it goes. Anytime I get excited about the NBA playoffs over the last 5 years, it just hasn't really lived up to it in my life. I don't care. A lot of people say they love the bubble. Bubble was trash to me. I couldn't stand watching the bubble. To be 100% real with you. Like, I was watching them just so I could talk about it on a podcast, but I just didn't like the environment, bro. It really felt real AAU-ish. At least this year, we'll have some type of crowds, you know what I'm saying, to make it feel a little bit more real, be more travel, going in between different people's home court. There'll be some type of home court advantage. Because I didn't like last year. I really liked the NBA playoffs in a long time, so I'm hoping we get some good matchups this year. Let's go to a big story. Not really a big story, but funny story that happened this week between Kevin Durant and Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp, of course, is on Undisputed on Fox, on Fox Sports, hosted by him and Skip Bayless. And he basically said a quote about, you know, I don't know, it's had something to do with LeBron and KD about LeBron, about KD thinking he was the best out of all them. It was a fake quote that was taken from Twitter and wasn't real. And basically, KD pull up on him in the tweets and he's saying, wow, y'all running some out of so much content that you bringing up stuff that I ain't even said. And it was a little back and forth between him and Shannon. And basically, Shannon ran and was like, oh, I'm not finna argue with you on the internet. I'm an adult and things of that nature. You know, and KD just kept going in on him. And by the way, I love KD's new Twitter persona of saying, oh, I don't care about them burners, nigga. I'm bringing up the heat straight to y'all now on my own personal account. I've had a lot of problems with Shannon Sharpe. I feel like Shannon Sharpe is obviously one of the greatest tight ends of all time. When Shannon Sharpe is actually talking about football, he's very insightful. I love listening to him talk about football. And that football recap show he had 2 seasons ago with him, Deion Sanders, and LaDainian Tomlinson was very entertaining. But with that being said, he just the little routine, the club Shay Shay thing, it's getting very old. First of all, you're wild and Shay. You're not gonna make me believe that you drink Hennessy and smoke Black and Miles every night. Stop it. It's corny. You know, him making these photoshops and saying, oh, y'all did this to me? Nigga, you know you had your intern make this meme. You know, all these different things is going into it. And I just feel like it's getting tired, man. It's getting real tired. And then this is the LeBron look. Like, you a grown man. Not only you a grown man, you a grown man in the Hall of Fame. Like, relax, bro. And it's just he looks like a cheerleader to the point where you're doing the Nick Wright thing of talking down to people and stuff that's not even factual. So I love that KD dunked on him and just kind of told him to stay in his lane, man. I really feel like his I guess you want to say his stick is like getting really old right now.
And G, I agree 100%. And like, that's really the issue. Like you said, you don't do half of this shit. Like, you live a pretty healthy, safe life. And you sitting here, you know, talking about Black and Miles and all this other shit. And it's really, as much as it's Shannon's fault, it's Fox's fault, because your producer didn't vet any of this information. Like, I'm sure you talked about this in the pre-production meeting where you said you were going to say this shit and nobody talked to you and like, whoa, 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 that's a meme, bro. Somebody was trolling when they made that. So that's just the biggest issue, you know, just as big of an issue that the media has these people and they have these producers who don't even really do their jobs and vet the information that people are going on the air and spreading around. So, I mean, a lot of people say KD was being childish or whatever, but I really think this is one of the few situations where KD had a right to say that.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, why? It's not like it's some bullshit. Like, if it was something I actually said, then yeah, I give you that. And then when I ask you about it, you start responding to other fans, but then you won't respond to me, but then you block me. It's like, it's silly.
I forgot about it. He did block him, which is very weak.
It's like, it's silly, bro. And then, like, you insinuate that you would whoop his ass. He was like, you know, we can talk about this offline like adults. And I'm like, you know, why are you doing all that? You were on TV saying some shit that I didn't say. So when I asked you about it, this is a public forum. This is the perfect place for it. We always talk about how we as fans, you know, want athletes and shit to be transparent and really just share shit with us. And so here you have it. You have KD online saying, you know, defending his name, saying, hey, bro, I didn't say any of that. What's up? And this is the response he gets. So, like I said, this is one of the few cases where, like, I think KD was right. It's kind of corny, but that's where we are in media today.
Yeah, that's where we are in media today. And it's kind of like, I have no problems with players responding to these talking heads who got things to say about him, even with the Russell Westbrook thing. But it's just like, if you're the talking head, one thing that we'll always love about Stephen A, and this is even what he did with Russell Westbrook, he's going to say that stuff to your face. Stephen A don't pull punches and, you know, and run with his hand tied behind his back. Shannon went out like a punk. Let's just keep it real. He went out like a sucker. Like, you didn't want to have a debate with a player who actually had a legitimate right. You said something that the man ain't say. Was no close to actually saying that. You go out there and block him, say you groaning and all that other crap, especially coming from a guy who was one of the most shit-talking players we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. For you to just, you know, kind of run, I thought it was weak, man. So I want to give some props to KD for that whole situation, man. It was good to finally put that on Front Street. And KD clapping back at the fans, talking about you a grown man calling another grown man an unk. He said, have some respect for your real uncle.
Right.
I thought that was hilarious, man. So shout out to KD. The next topic is not really a topic. I just want to salute Steph. Steph became the Warriors' all-time leading scorer this week, passing the great Wilt Chamberlain. That's incredible. Even though I think most of Wilt's stats are cap. I think Wilt Chamberlain is the biggest cap artist in the history of the NBA. But that's an entirely different podcast that we can get into. I just want to salute Steph on that for, you know, doing that. Because anytime you pass Wilt in, you know, the history books, you got to salute him. So salute Steph on that one. Now, this next topic is something you brought up in the chat, man. Of course, the 1996 NBA draft documentary came out last week. Did you see it?
Of course, yeah, I watched it.
What was your views on the documentary before we get into the topic?
I mean, I think as somebody who really, you know, I'm a fan of like things that are like thoroughly researched and shit like that. For example, we talked about that podcast, Death at the Wing. You know, we had a few people tweeting us today about how they've been checking it out. And, you know, it wasn't too much information that I didn't know already, but I will say it was just dope to see the bulk of the players involved in that draft actually comment and tell them their experiences. So I think that's always dope to see, because like we say every time, you know, now that we hit 30, we hit our 30s, we really get into the point where all of the things in our childhood are receiving the documentaries and the behind the scenes, and we getting all the shit that we didn't see when we were shorty. So I thought it was dope.
I'm with you. I'm a documentary guy, man. I watch a documentary on even a topic I don't really even care about. But I feel like it was pretty well done. I think NBA TV has some decent documentaries on there, and they need to stop playing the Dream Team documentary. The Dream Team documentary is NBA TV's version of Baby Boy, and they need to stop playing that. But I thought it was really well done. Of course, you know, of course, Kobe's absence, you know, RIP my man Kobe, you know, something that was felt on there. But I love, you know, AI telling, he don't even know why he wasn't at the cover shoot of the Slam magazine.
Bro was somewhere faded.
He was faded, you know, who knows what he was doing with some chicks or whatever. So I felt like that was real cool. And it was really gave like a real in-depth story to everything that was going on. Now, the only problem I had, they didn't keep a G on the Kobe Nets thing. And it was like, all the Nets just passed them. That was the truth. The real truth is that Nike wanted Kobe to go to the Lakers when that trade was being talked about. But not Nike, but who was the first company? It was Adidas, right? It was Kobe's Adidas. First company. Adidas wanted him to go there. But Nets wanted to get Kobe, but Kobe's agent told him that, yo, he will go play in Italy. He'll play out there for a year if he gets drafted by the Nets. And the Nets didn't want to take that chance, and that's why they went for Kerry Kittles. Yeah. So that was only
there's a lot of Vlade Divac spin in there.
Like, yeah, a lot of Vlade Divac spin. A lot.
Vlade said no, it wasn't going to happen.
Right, like, come on, dog. He didn't have that much power. Nigga. Right, exactly. Yeah, he didn't have that much power, dog. Like, but that leads to the question. When you said you felt that the 1996 draft was hands down the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hands down. Over 03 and 84.
Yes. I think Mike obviously has the cachet that he deserves. You know, you got Elijah Wan. You know, it's a great draft. I'm sure there's some people I'm not naming, but you know, it was some good guys in there. Same with 03. You know, you got a lot of all NBA guys. You got Bron. You got D Wade. You got Chris Bosh. You got Melo. You got Captain Kirk Heinrich.
You could have stopped that, but we're not going to get up here and give Kirk Heinrich love on this podcast.
I'm not saying he's great, but you know, you should salute the captain, man. He did his thing.
Well, for 84, was Jordan, Elijah Wan, Barkley, and Stockton.
Okay. See, okay, yeah, exactly. No disrespect to them, because I every time I see Charles Barkley in person, he goes higher on my greatest of all time. Because that man, I swear to God, Charles Barkley is 6'2", G.
Yes.
Charles Barkley is 6'3 max, and he was out there dominating in the NBA. So, Chuck,
I'm glad you brought up that they be like that players be lying about their heights. Look.
Oh, no, definitely. No.
D Rose is not 6'3. There's no way on planet Earth Derrick Rose is 6'3. Derrick Rose is a strong 6'1. Okay. LeBron ain't 6'8. I mean, 6'10, whatever they got him listed. LeBron is definitely shorter than that. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm glad you got to that one. Okay, so look, if you look at the 96 draft, who are the players who...
Hold on. Go ahead.
Who are the players that you would look at like, okay, these are like hands-down guys who like just take it over? So obviously Kobe, AI, Ray Allen, because we got that strong four from 84. And from 03, you got Bron, Melo, Wade, and Bosh. So you got the four. So what would be the four that would challenge those four? Because I'm personally going to slightly slide with 84.
I mean, you got AI, you got Cole, you got Ray Allen, you got... we talk about changing the game. You got Steve Nash and his influence with the Suns. So you go to those four. But the reason I picked 96.
Why do you say hands down though? Yeah, why do you say hands down?
Because it's not just those four. I think it's the role players that are also in the draft. When you look at a Marcus Camby and the career he carved out. You look at Stephon Marbury. We know like the end was rough, but then with him going reinventing himself in China, you look at Antoine Walker. The career he had, Kerry Kills was hot for a minute, you know. Pedro Stojakovic, you know, saying Jermaine O'Neal, Big Z, Agauskas, Derek Fisher. You had players in this draft who were able to contribute and really do their thing. And, you know, back to the documentary, I didn't know that Ben Wallace went undrafted in this draft.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so I think just the overall depth of this draft, I think that's what puts it over the top.
Okay, I'm with you on that one. I'm trying to look at the 03 depth because 84 depth doesn't even compare to 96 when I'm looking at it. And if you look at, the 03 had, Kamen, David West, Josh Howard, Mo Williams, Cal Korver.
I'm about to say, you're going to mention Kamen but not Kirk Heinrich, dog? Like, come on, my nigga. Like,
yeah, you're right about that.
Shows you the depth of that draft.
Here's my beef with Kirk Heinrich. My beef with Kirk Heinrich has nothing to do with Kirk Heinrich, by the way. My beef is that Kirk Heinrich was drafted two picks after Dwayne Wade. That's what my beef with Kurt Heinrich is. And the fact that the Bulls could have traded up to number five, but these niggas didn't want to give up Danielle Marshall, of all people. So that's what my problem is. It has nothing to do with Kurt Heinrich. We want to be real. Kurt Heinrich had a solid career as a player.
Very much so.
But every time I see him play, I just think about it. We could have got D-Wade before he was washed.
I mean,
bro, that's what I think of.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100% on that. But that's the Chicago thing. We fall in love with players. Players who be halfway decent. He plays hard. He's blue collar.
He's a blue collar lunch pail.
Fuck you mean we not trading Danielle Marshall?
What? Hard hat kind of guy. Like, nigga, huh? I want to score points. That's what I want to do. So I give you that one. Moving on to our last topic. Of course, we gotta talk about the Bulls, man. Hey man, so the wheels have completely fallen off this thing. The Bulls are 4-9 in their last 11. Zach LaVine is on the COVID list, so he's going to miss the next 2 weeks of the season. The Bulls don't have that many games left. The Bulls don't have any. They're now tied for the 10th seed. They finally won last night, snapping a four-game losing streak. Jokic dropping 25 and 11. Here's the thing. I am not panicked. I'm going to keep telling y'all that. I'm not panicked about this because we know what the issue is. And I think HP Basketball on Twitter pointed out a good point about the Bulls starting lineup, points-wise, has scored a lot of points. But it's the supporting. They're not getting anything from Lauri Markkanen. Kobe White has been a complete mess. Denzel Valentine shouldn't be in the league. Like, there's so many guys who are just not contributing. And if they just brought even a little to the game, the Bulls would have a much better record than they do right now. So my first point of that, you got to take the guard packs trash out. I think if anything, this is showing just – guard packs are even worse than we thought they were. Yeah. Like, none of these dudes bring anything to the game. If you look at the best players who are doing anything, it's the guys who were brought over in the trade this year. The Troy Brown Jr., the Daniel Tice, you know, guys like that. Those are the ones who are bringing something to the table. We're not – I don't know what Lauri is anymore. Like, this dude had a game with three games in a row where he didn't even attempt to shoot the ball five times. And Kobe, I don't – Kobe, when Kobe's not scoring, which recently is a lot, he's useless. Useless on the court.
No, I agree. Well, he's been pretty bad. Like, Markkanen been trashed. His buddy from Detroit mentioned him in that rap song. He really has not been performing at all in any of the expectations I thought. Because at first, like, all right, he just needs to be healthy. But he's been healthy recently, and he just has not been playing good basketball. I think all of the rumors at the trade deadline and almost being traded, I think that really hurt his confidence because he knows he's not a part of the future plan. Yeah. So I think while it's easy for us to say, well, go out there and audition for your next team, a lot of times that can really hurt a player's confidence, and then you get the results like we've gotten with Lauri, where he really hasn't performed well at all. I think Kobe – like you said, it's really sad that we really starting to see that Garpax wasted like three or four lottery picks
in a row, dog. Even look at the Jimmy Butler trade, bro. Zach LaVine's the only. Yeah, why'd you give them the pick? Number one, Zach LaVine's the only thing you got for them. But it kind of even takes that away because you're not supposed to trade Jimmy Butler to begin with. Like, if you want to look at it from that point, they messed everything up to the point where you've got AK's got a lot to work with. But at the same time, I think what AK has proved to this fan base and why I don't see a lot of Bulls fan panicking is they showed us that when there's a problem to address, they're going to address it. So I have zero doubts that this crap is going to get cleaned up in the offseason. So which leads to my next point. The Bulls have 16 games left. 10 of them are on the road. They have only 6 games left at home. And look at this upcoming schedule. I don't see a win for a long time. Now, of course, this is Monday when you're listening to this. So tonight they're going to be in Boston. Boston's won 6 in a row. I got that as an L. They go home. They go on the road to Cleveland. I can see them beating Cleveland like they did last night. They play Charlotte at home. Charlotte's been playing well even without LaMelo. That's probably a loss. Yeah. They got back-to-back with Miami in Miami. Those are 2 losses right there. They go to the Garden. They go to the Garden. That's a loss. They come home to play Milwaukee. That's a loss. They go to Atlanta. We saw what happened a week ago. That's a loss. Then you play Philly. Loss. Charlotte. Loss. Boston. Loss. You could probably beat Detroit. Next, you're getting blown out. Toronto, it's toss-up. Brooklyn, the last Brooklyn game, they might be sitting starters. Maybe you can get that. And in the last game of the season against Milwaukee. So my question to you is, should they tank? Because now a lot of Bulls fans need to understand this. Yes, they traded the Orlando. They picked Orlando. But the pick is top 4 protected. In a week, the odds of the chances of getting the fourth top 4 pick went from 13 to 25. Now, Zach is going to be out the next 2 weeks. So basically, by the time Zach comes back, it might be like maybe 5 games left. So do you just sit him for the rest of the season? Do you start giving these mysterious injuries, even though you say how much you hate the tank? Should the Bulls stay? At this point, does a play-in game really matter that much?
Yeah, at this point, I think the play-in game should be a wash. Like, making it proves nothing because most of this team won't be there next year. Mm-hmm. I think rolling the dice with the draft pick is tricky because we've seen our history with this. And coming up with the 7th pick time and time and time again. I know we got the 4th pick last year. But with that, honestly, with that pick being top 4 protected, you kind of want to roll the dice this year to right. get this shit out the way. So, you know, if it is top 4 protected, we get. Now, my question is, if it's top four protected, does that pick roll over the next year's pick? Or is that just over and done with? I feel like.
It rolls over. It still rolls over. Like, Orlando's eventually going to get the pick.
Right.
But it's just top 4 protected for this year.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, I think, yeah, this year, you know, at this point, it's just like, just roll on one more time. Like, because, yeah. And I don't even want to say tank. They ain't got a tank. They're not.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Like, they don't have to tank. If you look at the schedule that I just named off and Zach's going to miss the majority of them games, they ain't got a tank. Yeah. Them niggas going to lose on purpose.
But, I mean, and I will say one thing. Before the All-Star break, like when we first started doing this Bulls Corner, we talked about how the offense was rated in the top 15 in a lot of categories in the league. And, you know, since the All-Star break, they've been damn near dead last in every offensive category. Like, you know, they've been getting buckets in some games, but I mean, in most scoring categories, in terms of just pace and everything, they've been falling off. And so with that being said, like you said, it's really a matter of, we know this roster won't be here. So let's turn this shit over. Let's make something happen. And we go.
But a lot of that is because you're not getting anything from your bench, and I need them to let Pat Williams be a little more aggressive. Now, of course, I know you don't believe in Pat like I do. I'm gonna come back in like 2 years, and I'm gonna have a big pitching me rolling speech. That's how much I believe in Pat.
Okay. But
I just don't. They just need help. If this Bulls team had what they need, and actually goes to my next point. What do you think is outside of point guard, which is obvious number one issue, was number one offseason need? For me, I'm going to say defense. This is probably the worst defense. I've seen some bad defense. But as a Bulls fan, this might be the worst defense I've ever. It's literally score on one end, give up some on the other end. And we're not good offensively to be winning shootouts with people. So they need to get you some wing defenders. They need to get you some guys who can lock up and mix. It makes the game easier for Zach and Vooch because those two are not defenders, obviously. know what I'm saying? As we're seeing with Vucevic now, of course, I didn't watch a lot of Orlando Magic games. I don't know about you. I value my time too much watching Orlando Magic. I didn't know how bad of a defender that Vucevic was. Like, this nigga be giving up a lot. He scores a lot, but he gives up a lot on the other side of the court. So they get you defenders. They need defenders. Their defense is just as big of an issue as point guard is. So that's the things that I feel that AKME really needs to hone in. They give you some good defenders. Bring back Daniel Tice. Bring back Troy. I really love Troy Brown Jr. I feel like he has a place on this roster. That's why I would build around to add with the point guard. And I feel like there's options out there for you. I still think Zoe should be number one. As much as I like Malcolm Brogdon, I think obviously Malcolm Brogdon is a better player. Malcolm Brogdon is a score first point guard. And I don't think that's something we need on this roster. We need somebody who can set up the offense and make baskets easier for Zach and for Vooch.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brogdon is a point guard that can score more than a score first point guard. It really just depends on the scenario. But I agree. I think Zoe fits this team better. I also think Zoe fits better because you need more versatile defenders on the squad. You need several wing defenders because the ones we got just ain't it. Like, people get buckets on us at will. You know, with Vooch being such a bad defender, you may need to possibly look at adding another four who can also, you know, defend and stretch the floor. And so, you know, we thought Lowry was going to at least give us one of those and stretching the floor, but obviously he hasn't been able to do that, so you're going to get rid of him. But I think more than anything, you need some versatile wing defenders, like guys that can, you know, get you, you know, 15 to 17 points on the other end, but they can also lock up and play defense.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Last topic, man. Weekly power rankings, man. Do you want to go first or?
Yeah, I'll go first. My number five team this week is gonna be the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
You know, they have, you know, they're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they lost the other night. They recently just won. They just beat us, but they 8-2 in their last 10 games. Like I said, ever since they got Nick McMillan in there, they've been playing a lot better. They're on the 4 seed currently. So I got them as my number four team this week. My number five team. My number four team, I'm gonna go with the New York Knicks. Like we said, you know, they've won 6 in a row, 7 out of their last 10. And, you know, Tibbs has them boys playing really well. Number three, I would have to go with this week. The Boston Celtics. The Celtics have also won 6 games in a row, 8 out of their last 10. And, you know, they've really been hoping. And, you know, we wrote them off earlier in the season, but it looks like they really are charging back and trying to make that last season, that last second run so far. My number two team is the Phoenix Suns. They 8-2 in their last 10, and they just lost one, but they've been really hot, really doing their thing and really pushing Utah for that first seed. They're a game and a half out. And my number one team is the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, Embiid came back and he really didn't miss a beat. So they're 7-3 in their last 10. Ben Simmons is making that late season push with Defensive Player of the Year. You know, I know a lot of people are really upset with his lack of development on the offensive end, but he does what he needs to do for that team. And, you know, it's been a successful formula so far. So I got them number one this week.
Okay. For my number five, I'm going to go with the Brooklyn Nets, even though they lost today to Miami, and they're only 6-4 in their last 10. I'm still going to keep them there as far as the other teams that I had behind. I think that one thing for them, we got, 5 weeks left in the season? They need at least 2 weeks, I feel, with the big three, or Lethal Weapon 3, as Stephen A. likes to call them, so they can get a run. And, right, the first round for them is going to be a get-right series, but I really want to see them there. And so I would go there with them at number five. Number four, I'm going with the Phoenix Suns, man. Phoenix is out here playing great basketball. They're 8-2 in their last 10. I really like what I'm seeing from Chris Paul and Devin Booker, but I'm going to keep them at 4 just because of the caliber team that they beat over the street. Three, I'm going with the Sixers. Sixers have been going well all season. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They've won 4 in a row. Embiid has come back, been dominating. Hasn't really, you know, looked like he lost a step at all. Y'all already know how I feel about Kangaroo Kid Gilchrist, a.k.a. Ben Simmons. I think he's a great defender, but I do think he will be exposed come playoff time. He's a non-factor offensively. But I'm going to put them number three as my number three team. Number two, man, I'm giving go New York, go New York, go. I'm going with the New York Knicks. Going with the Knicks at number two right now. The Knicks on a 6-game win streak, the 7-3 in the last 10. Big win over over New Orleans tonight. Julius Randle is hooping right now. And I think it's just, you know, fun to see what they're doing over there, man. Shout out to Tibbs. And more importantly, shout out to my man, D. Rose. I want to put them in number two. My number one team in my power rankings is the Boston Celtics, man. 8-2 in their last 10. They have won 6 in a row. It was a real fun battle to see Tatum going at it with Steph. Like I said, I feel like they're a sneaky team that can, you know, be the team that they ain't got no business beating come playoff time. And it's just good to, you know, see them actually kind of live up to the potential they had coming into the season. So those are my weekly power rankings, man. Celtics, Knicks, Sixers, Suns, and Nets. Goofy Mog of the Week. Gonna kick this off. Goofy Mog of the Week, man. I didn't have one at first for a while, but my Goofy Mog of the Week is fans of other fan bases trying to tell fan bases about their team. More specifically, fans of good teams who I know you're not watching these Huff teams. I saw a tweet where somebody said, oh, the Bulls are 6-12 since benching benching Kobe White. And Wendell Carter Jr. is out here putting decent numbers up with the Orlando Magic. What's going on in that organization? And this is a problem I have. You don't watch this team. I watch these bum niggas every night, okay? There's no way you can watch the Bulls. Anything in that tweet is factual. It's not a disservice that we bench Kobe White. The dude sucks. He could be on the starting lineup. He could be on the bench. He's going to give you the same type of production. As far as Wendell Carter Jr., y'all going off of these send-out performances that he gave multiple times when he's with the Bulls that made us think, oh, maybe he's turning the corner and he goes right back to being the mid player that he is. And then you want to have the nerve to tell fans that we watch these niggas every night. We're not lying to you. They suck just to get a takeoff. So I'm telling you fans who are fans of teams who are good. Like, yeah, this, of course, we all know what fan base this tweet came from. Of course, you know, these are Laker fans, the worst fans in the NBA that came from. Don't be telling me about my high huff team. It's not even football. I think I saw somebody say, oh, well, the Jaguars were using Leonard Fournette right wrong. Just because he broke up a 47-yard run. Watch the game, man. So that's what my Goofy Mog of the Week
is. I feel that. My Goofy Mog of the Week is going to everybody who was in the comments. This is actually twofold. Everybody who was talking shit about the WNBA jerseys, you know, asking, you know, why did Nike, you know, put the money into that, or Nike gonna lose money on that. It's like, bro, shut the fuck up. Like, we sit here and say time and time again, well, they don't get paid as much because they don't make the revenue. Well, here is another opportunity for you to help them make more revenue. Go buy a jersey. You know what I'm saying? If you got daughters, buy one for them. If you got shorties who like basketball, get one for them. But just to sit here and just constantly criticize, kind of the way Draymond Green did this shit, Just constantly criticizing without actually taking a step back and realizing that you got people out here actually trying to do the work and help, you know, close this gap. It's really nothing for you to say. And on another end, I thought it was real interesting. Like, during the WNBA draft, Sham started tweeting out draft picks, and a lot of people were really upset about that. And that I don't understand, because we always talk about one thing they want more than anything is exposure, you know, get more eyes on the game. And what better way to do that than have one of the leading NBA journalists, you know what I'm saying, tweet about the WNBA. So I thought that was really your typical Twitter overreaction that we get a lot with a lot of shit that goes on. So I think those are my Goofy Marks of the Week.
I'm with you on that, man. I actually like the WNBA jerseys. I really like the Las Vegas jerseys. I think the Sky jerseys look pretty good. I like how Candace Parker looked in those jerseys. I feel like a lot of discourse between the WNBA is just, and it's come from somebody who I don't watch the WNBA, you know what I'm saying? I probably never will watch the WNBA, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for these players, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm not finna go out my way to Sunday. It's just not for me. I'm just not watching it, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But
that
I feel
like, shit.
It's right. Yeah, exactly. You can do what I do. I don't watch it. I don't slander. Unless I'm just joking with Damien every while and just to, you know, make him mad. But besides that, you know what I'm saying? I don't care. Like I said, I watch enough basketball just to do this podcast. So if I have a hard time watching the men's game, it's not specifically on the women, but there's a lot of niggas who go out that way just to slander the game. And I feel like that type of stuff is corny. And I feel like the jersey reveal was kind of cool for the WNBA. Gave them a little bit of exposure. To see a guy like Shams, who's been bodying it on the NBA coverage all year. To me, he's kind of even surpassed Woj this year. To have him do that, I felt like was something fun to see. And even somebody who I didn't watch WNBA draft, I knew what was going on just because the discourse that was going on the timeline. So I feel like a lot of people just go out their way to be corny. So I definitely agree with that one.
And real quick, Nike, get them more than one jersey this year, G.
They only got one jersey?
I saw a lot of women tweeting about they only get one jersey, G. I saw a lot of players tweeting about that. So Nike, get them multiple jerseys so they can do the jersey swaps and everything like that, bro. But it's really dope. Like you said, they got three different jerseys. They actually got... It's kind of trash when you look at it. They had that one uniform that was just one color, with no alternative, no nothing. And you know what I'm saying? For them to come out when they got these dope uniforms now, it's really dope.
And as we wrap this up, there's nothing to do with basketball. I just want to beg Universal Studios, please, for the love of God, stop making Fast and Furious movies. Like, do me a favor. Stop it.
These niggas used to be mechanics from East L.A. Now they be traveling to outer space. They be fucking jumping off mountains. They said don't rule out a Jurassic Park crossover. They said,
I saw that. I was
we don't want to limit ourselves.
And by the way, this is not a new take of mine. I've been screaming cancel Fast and Furious for at least 15 years now.
Bro, how the fuck are Vin Diesel and what's the wrestler? John Cena, how they brothers, bro?
They look nothing alike.
Stop, he's a hell brother. Get the fuck out of here.
Also, didn't Letty die in the third movie?
Then you brought
her back. Han died like twice, and you bring this nigga back. And there's even a rumor that you're going to bring Paul Walker back, which is very distasteful considering he's dead in real life.
Listen, I was done with the Fast and Furious when this nigga Rock fell through a Suburban. Was in the hospital in a body cast with his daughter. The nigga popped a handful of Advil, said, "Daddy's got to go to work." He just flexed and broke the fucking cast. I said, "Turn this shit off, bro."
No, I was with you. I was done with Fast 6 when these niggas jumped off a car in midair to jump to another side with him and Letty not in the car. And just all of a sudden, a cord comes out of nowhere and they get to the other side of the mountain safely. I think it's the same movie as The Rock. I was like, stop it.
Bro, The Rock grabbed a helicopter, bro, and pulled it down.
And rest in peace, but Paul Walker was a terrible actor. Let's just get this very straight now. You should not have started a franchise with him and Vin Diesel. It's been 20 years. I still don't know what race Vin Diesel is. He's the most racially ambiguous nigga of all time.
He won't answer the question. He starts shaking.
So that's my plea as we end this podcast, Universal Studios. For the love of God, stop. Think about the future generation. Stop it with Need for Speed meets Avengers. That's all I beg of you. But we're going to get out of here, man. This is episode 127 of Ball Don't Lie. We'll be back later this week with episode 128. You want to follow us at Barbchair Scott on Twitter, Instagram, at OctoberZonte on Twitter. You can follow the brand, the Barbershare Network on Twitter, Instagram, and at BarbershareNet. If you are not subscribed to the Patreon, subscribe right now, patreon.com/barbershare network. And if you are a subscriber, we appreciate you. A lot more content coming. So y'all have a good week, man, and we are out.